part of the problem is that women direct movies generally that are about other women, and they tell women's stories, and they have female characters, yeah. And the massive male voting bloc at the Academy doesn't care as much about those movies.
Hi, welcome to podcast. Jesus, welcome to Off Script, our podcast about the stuff we love. And today we're talking about the Oscars and what an unbelievable show those nominations were, but also how right we were.
We were so right.
Always so right.
Back pat.
So I'm Kylie Klein Nixon, and she's not.
I'm not. I'm Emily Brooks.
And
this is Off Script.
Perpetuating, isn't it? Because they vote for each other, and then they've only got each other to vote for.
Exactly. So, you know, the thing isn't, it's not that Little Women isn't as good a movie or even better than any of the other films that did get directed, that did get nominated for Best Director. The thing is that it's a movie about women, and you could maybe even say for women, and the male Academy doesn't care about that.
And so, Emily, what was the one snub that you were like most ticked off about? Because I have a couple.
I mean, my big one was definitely Greta Gerwig not being nominated for Best Director for Little Women.
When Todd Phillips was.
Yeah, I mean, like I said last week, I don't think that Joker was an especially well-directed movie. I don't think he should be there. I think Greta Gerwig should be there. That was my biggest snub.
I totally agree. There's a list. We just did the list, and it's quite damning because one of the things that I've been reading a lot since it was announced is that it's all about quality. They picked quality, and it's like these directors, female directors, are making movies that are too small, or they're just not making the right kind of movies, or whatever. What a load of twaddle. Because Kazi Lemon was also left off, and she directed Harriet, which is...
biopic.
Yeah, and also a lead actress was nominated.
Yeah, it did. It picked up... Yeah, I mean, a lot of these movies... Well, several of these movies picked up other nominations.
Yeah.
They just didn't see fit to nominate the female director.
Mm.
But, you know, again, their movies... like Lorraine Scarafia for Hustlers. Hustlers, it's another movie about women.
Mm-hmm.
Lulu Wang for The Farewell. It's a movie... It's a family drama, you know? Mm. It's not like... It's not a macho film. I mean, I think that there's a real hurdle here.
And then there's A Beautiful Day in the Neighbourhood, which I didn't realise had a female director, but does, which also has loads of Oscar buzz, and supporting actor nomination for Tom Hanks. Yeah, so that's just, it's absolute nonsense. It's a nonsense, and I'm sick of hearing that nonsense about its quality over identity, because that's ball sacks. If that was the case, Todd Phillips wouldn't have been bloody nominated. Anyway. Any other thoughts about how well we did with our picks last week? Or anything? No, I think we're done with the Oscars, aren't we? I'm done with the Oscars. Emily's done with the Oscars.
I'm done with the Oscars until the Oscars.
So this week, what are we talking about?
Well, we're talking about sex education, broadly and specifically.
Good morning, Mordale. Today, we shall be hearing from a sexual health expert.
I'm here to start an open conversation about S.E.X.
Two new shows on Netflix this week. We have the second season of the hilarious... I believe, original series called Sex Education, and also...
Starring Gillian Anderson.
Gillian Anderson looking hot.
God bless her.
AF.
And Asa Butterfield looking disturbing, frankly. And I don't know who the other two are, but anyway.
I mean, can we just talk about Gillian Anderson for a small moment?
Yeah, I'm always up for a conversation about the Queen.
Just gets better and better and better the older she gets. I think in every way.
Yeah, yeah. She's cooler. She's just the most self-assured. She does not give a F.
She really doesn't.
And yet she kind of does in the ways that are cool. Like, you know, she's great at her job.
Oh yeah, like she obviously works incredibly hard and all that kind of stuff. Yeah, I mean, but what she doesn't care about is like kowtowing to any expectation of her, I think, beyond being really good at her job. Yeah. Like she's...
And she takes like great risks that are really exciting. Although I guess going back and doing X-Files again is probably not the greatest of risks.
It's probably quite a big paycheck.
Yeah. I feel like her character in Sex Education is like the dream combination of character and actress. It's just like the ultimate coming together of two things you didn't know you desperately needed until it happened in front of your face. That's my feeling about that character.
Yeah. No, I mean, I agree. She's so perfectly cast, but it's beyond that as well. I think what she makes out of that character is just incredible. So for those of you who haven't seen Sex Education, it's about this teenager played by Asa Butterfield who is very socially awkward and has some real hang-ups about sex, which is probably related to the fact that his parents are both sex therapists. They've split up. He lives with his mother, played by Gillian Anderson. And in the midst of his awkwardness and sex hang-ups, sort of accidentally becomes his own sort of sex therapist or relationship therapist, dispensing advice to students at his high school. His partner in this is another excellent character that I would like to talk about in more depth as we go on, called Maeve, a sort of rebel social outcast who becomes the kind of object of his romantic desire as well. He has a great best friend, Eric, played by Nkudi Gawa,
who's so
just
nice.
All of the characters in the show are so great. They're so distinct. They're so surprising. It's an incredibly well-written show. So that's kind of the premise of the whole thing. And we're now into the second season.
Do you think that one of the things that might put people off Sex Education is that the setting is quite odd. It's set in the UK, right?
Mm.
But it feels like an American high school. Everything about that show feels like an American high school. Because I've been to UK high schools, colleges, and they do not look like that. And they certainly don't look like it outside. It looks more like the Pacific Northwest than...
Yeah, that's interesting.
That was quite jarring to me the first time I saw it. I was like, this looks like it's set in Washington State or Oregon or somewhere like that.
It doesn't look comprehensive.
It doesn't look like any comprehensive anywhere. There's nowhere in the UK that looks like that, except maybe like parts of Wales. And even then there should be like way more disused shopping trolleys upturned.
It's not specific about where it's set, is it? They don't mention, I don't think they even name the like region of the UK that they're in. It's somewhere in England. I mean, yeah.
But it's supposed to be a little bit universal, is I guess what I'm getting at. It's like making somewhere that's English feel accessible to an American audience.
Yeah.
And I'm sure that they've all got Harry Potter accents.
I hadn't thought about that at all, but I'm sure that's a very deliberate decision by Netflix.
Yeah, absolutely right.
Yeah.
So once you get past that, though, the show is awesome.
Yeah.
Yeah. If you like high school dramas, which God knows I do.
I mean, I do too. And something that I do think about this show is that its depiction of the way that social groups and social hierarchies work in high schools is more realistic than your classic kind of John Hughes structure.
Jocks and geeks.
Yeah.
The sportos, the motorheads, geeks, sluts, bloods, wastoids, dweebies, dickheads.
Yeah, but I mean, my experience of high school is that, you know, there are those groups, but they're not as fixed and kind of...
Yeah, you never know whose group you're going to be in.
Have friends and different... You do different activities with different people. It's not that really codified, like... the jocks, the preppy kids, the geeks, the dorks, whatever. You know, there's that great bit in Ferris Bueller's Day Off where Grace, the principal's PA, is just like rattling off the list of all the groups in the school.
They all adore him. They think he's a righteous dude.
And, but, well, you know, funny is that is, I don't think that is really realistic. I think it's a heightened kind of idea of high school. And sex education is, I think, more realistic in that it does show this more like fluidity between social groups and a less rigid social hierarchy.
So kind of when we were talking about doing this episode, it got me thinking about the kind of sex education. I don't know what it's like in schools now, but when I was at high school, it was so right on and yet completely devoid of any facts or information that I didn't get a sex education at high school at all. And I went to a pretty good school.
I am sure that I did get sex education of some kind, but I don't remember it at all. The only thing I remember, I have this one weird specific memory of someone, I don't even think it was a teacher at the school, I think it was someone who'd come in from outside, showing us how to use tampons, and she had a,
Jesus,
you know, a tampon with like a, what do you call it?
Like the string? Oh, an applicator.
Yeah, an applicator, and I'd never seen one before. That's my single memory, any kind of sex education at school. And I'm sure that I must have had, I'm sure they must have told us more about the functions of sex and how important it is to use condoms or whatever. But it was obviously so useless to me that my brain hasn't just even bothered.
Not bother keeping
it. Yeah.
My single memory is of the youngest PE teacher in our school, and we had several, leaning casually up against the desk, kind of, you know, rapping with the kids while everybody just squirmed and wanted to die. That's my sort of memory. And there was no information that I can recall that was of any value whatsoever. So, yeah.
Yeah. Well, what about the sex education in this show then?
Gillian Anderson is so straightforward about it all that it actually does become awkward at times. Like, I put myself in Arthur Butterfield's shoes every time she talks about it.
I mean, you can completely see why this kid is as messed up as he is. Definitely.
It's just so cringeworthy and skin crawling. There's like, parents shouldn't have. I feel like parents need to be honest while also pretending that they don't think you have a body below your neck whatsoever.
I think the other thing too is that you really never ever want to think that your parents are having better sex than you. And there's like,
oh no, I think we need to dial that
or
one back.
Any sex.
Yeah, they have never had, they don't have sex. But that's a weird thing, isn't it? That, like, why do we feel like that about our parents? Because there's no way we can escape the fact they did bone. And yet, the thought makes me want to boil my own head off. Love you, Mum and Dad.
Why is that? I guess just because, well, because sex is, you know, for all that you and I are part of a more enlightened generation, blah, 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 blah.
Nah.
It's still kind of, like, awkward and embarrassing.
So
and
awkward and embarrassing.
Gross. I mean, you kind of, do you spend a lot of time thinking about anyone that you know having
No,
sex?
You don't.
And it's just weirder and grosser when it's your parents because they're, like, they've always been old and
just really old. So I watched the Janelle Monáe show, which is called Sex Explained, also on Netflix. And because I think it's really fantastic because, you know, there's a big conversation going on, actually literally going on right now on Twitter about, abstinence.
Education.
I can't even say it. God knows I don't want to do it. So abstinence education in the US is rearing its head again. And especially medical practitioners, like, I'm actually basing this entirely on Twitter at the moment as well. But abstinence healthcare professionals are fighting back against abstinence education. And one of the things I saw was that people are directing kids in their schools where there's no decent sex education to watch Janelle's show.
Oh, really?
Yeah,
Sex That's Explained fantastic.
Because it's very, very straightforward, very kind of like almost too honest. But because she's saying it, it's kind of the creepy factor is completely alleviated and it's just.
If you have sex, what does it look like? Though we might think our fantasies are super weird,
most people are fantasizing about the same things.
I love leather.
Actually, I only watched three episodes, and the first one was about fantasies, which is kind of like a steep learning curve, I think. I kind of put myself, imagined myself as a 13-year-old watching it, and it was a shocking eye-opener, I think would be the best term. But then there was an episode about birth control, which was pretty bloody transformative to me, and also kind of rage-making, and a lot of information that we don't know about how women's bodies were experimented with.
I totally agree. I watched the episode as well. I think the thing that really stuck with me from the episode, and everything that you're saying is true, and it is both enlightening and shocking, the thing that really stuck with me was that hormonal contraception makes women sick, and it's been making women sick for 40 years.
Yeah.
But drug companies aren't motivated to make them to modify them to make them better, because women are still going to buy the contraceptives even if they're making them sick. So it's that classic thing of, like, you know, drinking the sand because there's no water. Mm. We're being offered a faulty product, but we have to accept it.
Otherwise, terrible, terrible social, economic, personal results.
Yeah, just women not having options, not being able to make decisions about their own reproduction.
Mm.
Absolutely horrifying.
And I think that's the kind of history, women's history, that like teenagers need to know. They quite often think that how it is now is how it's always been, or the past is the past. But these bags will keep using us as guinea pigs as long as we're beholden to them, basically.
Mm.
That's my thought on the topic.
No, I agree. And I mean, it's even worse than using us as guinea pigs, although they're doing that too, but it's like treating us like second class citizens. Yeah. You know, they don't need to worry about, or we're not worthy of the good drugs because they can keep selling us the shit stuff.
Mm, it was a bit of a shocker. The other thing that I really like about the show is that it's obviously super sex positive. Anyway, it's really good, and Janelle Monáe's voice is beautiful.
So nice.
It's like,
she doesn't appear in it.
No.
She just narrates it.
Yeah, and it's like I imagined myself at one point just like lying with my head gently in her lap as she stroked my hair and explained the birds and the bees, and it was kind of a wonderful place to be.
It's excellent, isn't it? Because she is talking about these things, or at least in that episode that I watched about contraception, she's talking about things that are really rage-making, but she doesn't bring the outrage to her tone. She's got a great kind of factual documentary voice.
Mm. And even in the Fantasies episode, when she was talking about, you know, the sorts of things that you would run screaming from the room if your parents brought up to you, she just has a really nice matter-of-fact way about her that made it less cringy, I guess.
Yeah. So watch it. It's a real
eye-opener. It's not arousing either. What's the word I'm looking for?
Titillating?
Yeah, it's not titillating. That's right. It's not titillating about it, which could make it icky, but yeah, it's a great little show.
It treats sex as a subject to be explored.
Margaret Cho is in Sex Explained, which I was like quite surprised by, like pleasantly surprised.
She hasn't popped up.
All right, so she's in the kink. She's in the Fantasies and the kink section of that. It was really brilliant. She was just so funny and warm and kind of open-hearted. It's really big of people to share that kind of stuff. For something that's so educational, I don't know why that kind of charms me a little bit.
What does she talk about?
She just talks about her, like, experiences with, like, not in any kind of graphic detail or anything like that, but it's just sort of like why it's important to her, how it helped her embrace her queerness, and how it's sort of almost intrinsically wound up with it. It's really interesting.
I'm definitely going to check out more of this show. This is another one of the things that I really like about sex education, actually, is that it's very sex positive, and this is kind of an aside, but it doesn't punish anyone for having sex. You know, it's not, which is kind of rare, especially when you're dealing with teenagers, and especially teenage girls. But within that sex positivity, it's positive about just sex, just any kind of sex, you know, whatever you like. And the teenagers, I think, are portrayed as exploring sex in, again, a way that's, I mean, maybe not utterly realistic, but much closer to real than a lot of other things I've seen. You know, you watch them, like, trying to figure things out. Like, in the second episode of the second season, there's a big thing about how do you finger a girl? Like,
oh my God.
You know, I mean, which sounds, you know, sounds kind of disgusting or whatever, but like it's that's a really real thing. Like, you no one just innately knows how to give someone else pleasure. You know, they have to figure this stuff out for themselves. Or I remember there's this great bit with in the first season where there's a lesbian couple who feature throughout the show, and they're like they're trying to figure out what scissoring is, and like can you actually do it in a way that makes you feel good? And eventually they just kind of give up. Yeah, but I think these things, that's true. Like, that's how you, and not even as a teenager, I mean, throughout your life when you have different partners or whatever, you have to, like, figure it out. It's totally unrealistic that two people who've never met before, and in this case are quite inexperienced, just fall into bed and have a beautiful, non-awkward, mutually satisfying sexual experience. That does not happen. What happens is that it's awkward and you don't really know what you're doing, and, you know, hopefully you're asking questions and telling the other person what you like and figuring it out, you know?
Or... You're not.
Oh, you're not. But, I mean, I think...
When I was at high school, saying he fingered a girl, that somebody fingered a girl, it was like saying he owns a leather jacket and drives a really cool car.
Right.
And he fingered a girl.
Right. Okay. I mean, again, this show is not utterly realistic. Like, one of the things I've written in my notes is, do high schoolers actually have this much sex? No, is the answer.
No.
But they do...
They do talk about it.
They do talk about it a lot. They do think about it a lot. And also, I mean, without putting too fine a point on it, Kylie, you and I were at high school a little while ago.
And that's just a wee while ago.
A few years. It's possible also that
I can remember what it was like.
Yeah, oh no, I didn't mean I can't remember.
Mists of time. I seem to remember being shorter. But actually, one of the other shows that I love that I have actually watched with my nephew until very recently, when he just doesn't want to watch it with me anymore, but it was Big Mouth, which is another show. It's a cartoon. It's Nick Kroll.
Oh.
And it's fantastic. Nick Kroll and John Mulaney. And I didn't know it was John Mulaney until just this minute when I read it. But it's basically a semi-autobiographical. And Nick Kroll was brutally honest about his development. But basically, it's a cartoon, and in the cartoon, his hormones are represented by a giant furry monster whose name escapes me right now. But he's Maury the monster, and the hormone monster. He's amazing.
So it's kind of like Inside Out, but with pubescent male hormones.
Oh, there's it's girls and boys. It's quite great because it's one of the main female characters is Jessie, and who's played by Jessie Klein, and she's amazing. And she's going through so many like incredibly intense emotional stuff. Like her mum is gay, and she's just struggling with that relationship. She hates her new stepmother. She also like really loves her, and she loves her dad, but her dad's also a total loser. It's just, so she goes through a lot of like really intense kind of dealing with her hormones and feelings and stuff. It's pretty great.
And wait, so they all have an anthropomorphized, yeah. So it's
hormone
like
monster. And all the hormone monsters, there's really only two hormone monsters. They all have versions of Maury, and Maya Rudolph plays Connie, the female version of the hormone monster. Every child has a hormone monster, either Maury or Connie, of different degrees.
So it's kind of like his Dark Materials.
Too bad eating pussy. Too bad you lost your womb broom.
My womb broom?
Womb broom, your mustache. It's a little term I picked up in the Marines, Semper Fi.
Is that Captain Crunch?
I follow that guy to the bottom of the ocean.
What?
The point is, let's get out there and eat the other team's pussy.
Yeah.
But you're familiar.
Oh, no. your familiar is just this insanely lascivious, supportive, kind of dreadful, wonderful creature. That
I'm going to check the show
it's out. So great. And like Nick Kroll's really, he must have been a late bloomer, or he's exploring what it was like to be a late bloomer. Because his first hormone monster is this decrepit, falling down, barely functioning old goat, basically, version of Maury. And then he gets swapped out for Connie. And he's freaking out that his hormone monster is female, and he's just having a real crisis of his... It's so, so wonderful.
That sounds amazing.
So many fantastic characters. I cannot.
What platform can I find that on?
That's on Netflix as well. So today's been brought
Netflix
to you by
win.
Netflix. It has not been brought to you by Netflix.
But Netflix, if you want to sponsor us.
Yeah, you know where we are. They probably don't want to sponsor us. We love you, Netflix. Connie, the hormone monster, is like my spiritual touchstone.
I'd watch a show if Maya Rudolph was standing in a corner not speaking. That would be enough for me.
She's
so great.
She's really great. Yeah. So those are all the shows about sex. If you're lacking anywhere in your sex education, sexual knowledge, those are the shows to watch.
Yeah.
I wish Gillian Anderson had given me sex education. I think my life would have been very different.
Yeah. I don't know. There's something... I mean, that character's great, but she's also quite terrifying. Yeah.
Probably needed a bit of that.
There's a couple of scenes in both seasons where you see her actually giving therapy, like sitting with her clients, and I'm always like, that looks so horrible. the show that I compared it to, actually... We didn't intend to talk about this, but let me bring it up briefly. Did you see Wanderlust?
No.
That's just had one season so far on Netflix as well. Another great show about, I mean, it's very different, but also about kind of people navigating their sort of sexual paths. And Toni Collette plays a therapist in that, and the scenes with her giving therapy are also quite terrifying.
Excruciating.
Oh, maybe it's just something about strong, beautiful women being therapists.
Not taking any of your shit.
I need to explore that in myself. Just why is this a problem?
Take that home with you in the night. If you're interested in any of the shows that we talked about today, we're going to put a list of them in our show notes, because that's what you do, apparently, show notes. Who knew? Podcasts have them, and we will too. And if you want to talk to us about anything, you can leave a message for us on Anchor, which I actually haven't checked our messages. So if you have already left a message for us, thank you. You can leave a message and we might play it out on the show next week.
You can email us.
You can at offscriptnz@gmail.com.
You can tweet us.
And I kind of screwed up our Twitter account, so it's got a really weird handle. It's @nz_off.
You can remember that.
You can remember that. But yeah, tweet us. And if you've got anything you'd like us to talk about.
Yeah, definitely suggest topics for us.
Because there's only so many hours in the day.
Suggest topics, disagree with us. We love all of that.
Yeah.
The second season of Sex Education drops today on Netflix. Season one's obviously already there. Watch it first. You won't regret it.
And Janelle Monáe's Sex Explained is on Netflix right now. And so three incredible seasons of Big Mouth, which you can watch anytime you like. That's the beauty of Netflix. This has been Off Script.
That was fun.
I think we're done. Are we done?
I think we're done.
We're done. See you next week. Bye.
Bye.